Amen. Can I give out a few verses of Scripture? I'd like for you folks to help read the Scripture, if you would, this morning. And we've got several things we want to read. Luke chapter 1 and verse 80. I've got about four or five I want to give out to get started. Luke chapter 1 and verse 80. Anybody be, Dane, thank you so much. Luke chapter 2 and verse 40. Now remember, ladies or men, either one, Brother Bo, thank you so much. You ladies, feel free to read too if you're willing to do that. Matthew chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. Matthew 14, 1 and 2. Thank you, sister. Brother, if you'll take Matthew chapter 16 and verse 14. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 14. Let me give out one other before we begin. Luke chapter 3 and verse 2. Luke chapter 3. Thank you, Brother Ricky. Luke chapter 3 and verse number 2. Now, I want you to remember where we're going with this series of lessons. Folks, I didn't start way back, ever had many weeks ago it was, when we started our lesson on Baptist history. When we got to, when we really wanted to begin with the very first church, the logical place to begin would have been with the very first Baptist, who is John the Baptist. I didn't feel like at that point in time that a lot of folks would be willing to accept that or grasp that, because for the most part, Baptist folks, because many Baptist folks don't know about our Baptist heritage and our lineage, we just don't realize that John the Baptist really was the first Baptist. I've heard jokes made in Baptist church. I've been in Baptist church ever since I've been saved, independent Bible-believing Baptist church. I've heard jokes made about John the Baptist being the first Baptist. Yeah, John was first Baptist. Ha, ha, ha. And John was the first Baptist. He was the first Baptist. Now, what I'm trying to do in this series of lessons, I'm trying to show you from the Bible that John the Baptist was the first to baptize. His baptism was exactly the same baptism that we use today. John's doctrine and teaching was biblical doctrine and teaching, just exactly like Baptists believe today. John the Baptist preached the same kinds of things that we preach today. John was a forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. His responsibility was, it was prophesied in the Old Testament, he was to come on the scene. He was to prepare men and women, boys and girls, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as the promised Jewish Messiah. He was to also prepare people that would become the first member of the New Testament church, which was started by the Lord Jesus Christ during his earthly ministry. And that's what all this is about, and that's what I'm doing, is trying to lay the foundation, the framework, to make my concluding thoughts on this. And I've already given you most of the concluding thoughts, maybe in a little different terms than what I'll give it to you in writing, but I've already done that. And that's where we're going with this lesson. And right now we want to see the work of the Baptist, the work of the Baptist. On page 9 of your notes, The Baptist, John the Baptist, was the first prophet to appear in Israel for over 400 years. However, he had to be prepared by God before he could begin his important duties. Now, before I say anything else, I'd like to go ahead and read Luke chapter 1 and verse number 80. Luke chapter 1 and verse 80. The Bible says that John the Baptist grew, the child grew, and you notice what it says? It says he was in the desert until the time of his showing unto Israel. Now, I want to ask a question. I want to answer that question. What was he doing in the desert? Folks, he was in the desert being prepared by God for his ministry. Do you remember what happened with a fellow we know as the Apostle Paul? He was Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus got saved. But when Saul became Paul, he didn't begin his ministry immediately. The Bible tells us that Paul was sent out to the desert for some years. He was taught by the Holy Spirit, and then he showed up and began his important public ministry. You see, even though it had been over 400 years from the time of Malachi, actually I believe it's closer to, we don't want to grab at straws here, but I think that Malachi was written about 430 B.C., and so if that be the case, then it was like 430 years since God had sent a prophet. John the Baptist showed up on the scene after 400 plus years of silence. He was born, but then he was sent out to prepare before he began his important ministry. In your notes, you'll notice I put, remember, preparation time is not wasted time, nor is it time of secondary importance. The entirety of your future ministry will be impacted by how well you prepare. Now, folks, I'm not trying to indicate by that statement that everybody, in order to serve God effectively, has to have a formal time of preparation. I obviously am not against that, since I'm involved with that type of a ministry here at Philadelphia Baptist Church. But folks, we don't have to have a formal time of preparation, but every child of God needs to take advantage of those times of preparation that God gives us. Sometimes, and remember, our learning should never stop. There should never come a time in our life when we stop learning. It's a lifelong thing. We continue to learn. We never know it all. There's always more that we need to know. There's always more spiritual truth that we need to have. And preparation time is time that continues all through our life. Sometimes our preparation times takes the form of a trial or tribulation in our life. Now, folks, if we got to pick and choose, if we got to vote on it, I assure you that I would never vote for a time of trial or tribulation in my own life. We're all the same. If we'd be honest about it, we're all the same. I'd like to tell you that every time some type of difficulty comes into my life, the first thing I pray is, Lord, I understand this is for a purpose. I want you to teach me what you want me to know through it. Now, I would love to be spiritual enough that I would do that, but I don't. You know what I usually pray for first? Same thing you do. God, deliver me from this. God, take this thing away from me. God, I don't like this. God, I don't want this in my life. It usually takes some time. I'm confessing this morning. It usually takes some time for me to ever come to the place where I say, okay, Lord, I understand now that you're trying to teach me something. You're trying to do something that can be positive, God. Help me to find out what that is. Help me to learn what that is. Folks, I'm talking about preparation is important. I'm not suggesting that everybody needs to go back to school here this morning, but I am saying that preparation time is not wasted time. You know, we have the college ministry, we have the day school, we have the college ministry. And folks, I've never one time told anybody, any student in the college, we're going to teach you something you can never learn otherwise. That just plain wouldn't be true. You know what the fact of the matter is? The fact of the matter is that all spiritual truth is taught you by the Spirit of God. Now, I or any other Bible teacher may can share some Bible facts with you. They may or may not be beneficial and helpful in your daily life. But folks, listen. The only spiritual truth that's going to be taught is that which is taught you by the Spirit of God. We do claim in the Bible college ministry to be able to help folks to get a little jump start. We can give you a head start on some things, and some things that have taken them longer to get up to speed on, we can help them with those things and give them to them because of the fact that they're spending more time in the Word of God and more intense and all that sort of thing. So we can help with a little bit of a head start. But folks, we can't teach anything. We don't teach anything that people couldn't learn otherwise on their own. And the reason that's true is because it's the Spirit of God that's really the teacher of every child of God. John, he was sent out into the desert, and he was taught of the Spirit of God and prepared for the important ministry that he would have. We've already read Luke chapter 1 and verse 80. I want you to notice how similar the statements we read Luke 1:80, and I want to read that again. Brother Dean, in just a minute, I want you to read that again. One should note how similar the statement about John the Baptist is to the statement about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Brother Dean, if you would read Luke 1:80 again for us, and then ever who's got Luke chapter 2 and verse 40, I want you to read that right after Brother Dean reads. Now the child grew, and he waxed strong in spirit. Now let's read what the Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, isn't that remarkably similar? The words about the Baptist in Luke chapter 1 and verse 80 and the words about the Lord Jesus Christ as he grew as far as his humanity is remarkably similar. As a matter of fact, John the Baptist, who was filled with the Spirit, remember, from the time he was born, from his mother's womb, the Bible says he was filled with the Spirit. He was often mistaken for the Lord Jesus Christ, or the Lord Jesus Christ was mistaken for John the Baptist. Now, please, no one misunderstand me. I am not hinting here that they were the same person at all. John was a man. The Lord Jesus Christ is Almighty God. But I want you to see the kind of a man that John was, and that's remarkable, and it's noteworthy in that you and I can go back in our heritage and claim John the Baptist as one that believed exactly like you and I believe today. Let's read some verses. Matthew chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. Well, isn't that something? He heard of the fame of Jesus, and he said, "This is John the Baptist who's risen from the dead." Wow. Let's read Matthew chapter 16, verse 14. The Lord Jesus Christ asked his disciples, he says, "Guys, what do... who do people say that I am?" And the first name that they named, they said, "Some people say that you're John the Baptist." Folks, John the Baptist did his job so well. John the Baptist was so dedicated to Almighty God. John the Baptist himself always said that the Lord Jesus Christ is great. He said, "The one that comes after me is greater than me." He said, "I'm not worthy to even bend over and unlatch his shoes from his feet." He always said that, but still he reminded people so much of the Lord Jesus Christ that oftentimes Christ and the Baptist were mistaken for one another. We're getting to the fact that people flocked to John the Baptist. I believe we'd have a greater influence. I believe I'd have a greater influence for good on people's lives, folks, if I resembled the Lord Jesus Christ more than I do. It's a great downfall of my life. Many of us have to confess that in our own life. Well, let's go on. After John's preparation was complete, his public ministry began when the Word of God came to him in the wilderness of Judea. Let's read Luke chapter 3 and verse number 2. So, John had been sent out into the wilderness to prepare for his ministry. when his time of preparation was done, the Bible says that the Word of God came to him in the wilderness. What did God say to him? I don't know for sure. Maybe God said, John, it's time to begin preaching. I don't know exactly what God said to him, but the Word of God came to the Baptist while he was in the wilderness after his preparation time had been completed. He then began baptizing near the mouth of the Jordan River, not far north of the Dead Sea and due east of Jerusalem, about a day's journey. I've put in the notes here that there's a good summary of the ministry of the Baptist given in Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 20. That's a lengthy portion, and we're not going to read that. But let me give out two other verses that I'd like for us to read as we continue on. John chapter 1 and verse 6. John chapter 1 and verse 6. Thank you, brother. And then Luke chapter 1 and verse 17. Luke chapter 1 and verse 17. Who's going to read that for us? Okay, brother, thank you so much. Let's go ahead and read those two verses before I say anything else. John chapter 1 and verse number 6. There was a man sent from God. If you're filling in your notes, sent from God, what needs to go in those three little dashes there. Let's read Luke chapter 1 and verse 17. I didn't know, brother, when that got read, I thought, oh me, I've messed up here. I'll never find what I'm supposed to have here. So. So John the Baptist, if you're looking at your notes, John the Baptist was sent from God to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That was a big job. Among the multitudes that the Lord Jesus Christ prepared, now think about this, we're going to be coming back to this time and again later on. Among the multitudes that John the Baptist prepared for the Lord, of course, were all the 12 disciples. Now don't forget this. The 12 disciples were all baptized by John the Baptist. Many of the 500 brethren over in the book of Acts that saw the resurrected Lord, many of those 500 had been prepared by John the Baptist. It's probable that all of them were. I can't prove from the Bible that all the 500 were, so I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm going to say many of them were, and I believe that all of them were, but since I can't prove that, I'm not going to make that blanket statement to you as if I can prove it from the Bible, because I can't. And all. But John did a magnificent job. He had been prepared to begin his ministry in the desert. The Word of God came to him. He began to preach and to baptize. And his results are the fruits of his ministry were truly, truly remarkable. I'd like for someone to turn to Matthew chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 and read those for us. We'll turn there. Matthew chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. All right, sister, thank you so much. If you'll go ahead and turn there and read those two verses, and then I'll comment on that. Sister, would you read that again, the very first section about the different places that came out? So all of Jerusalem and the region about Jordan and Judea. See, got to read it twice and I still don't get it. Judea. Now, the Bible says Jerusalem and all those places. Now, what exactly does that mean? That means that all those places went out to hear John preach. Folks, it's a remarkable thing. Here's a man that didn't even have a crystal cathedral for him to come to. Here's a man that didn't wear fancy clothes and fly around in a private jet to get to the speaking engagement. Here's a fellow that lived in the wilderness. He was a rough guy. He was a rough guy and he was a hard preacher. He had drab clothing. He ate meager food. He preached against sin. I mean, the people, when the religious rulers, the religious crowd came to him, he looked at them and said, "You generation of vipers, bring forth fruit, meat for repentance." He was a hard preacher. And yet the Bible says that great multitudes came to hear John the Baptist preach. Wow. Wow. I believe if Christian workers today had the spirit and power of John the Baptist, if we use his techniques, we could also prepare multitudes for the Lord. Folks, the Baptist was filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb. The Baptist resembled the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember on one occasion when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke that the people were afraid? Or the people were amazed, not afraid. They might have been afraid too, some of them, but they were amazed. And they made the comment concerning the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. They said, "Never man spake like this man before." Nobody's ever preached like the Lord Jesus Christ preached. Now, I'm not suggesting to you that the Baptist was a greater preacher than the Lord. But I am suggesting this based on the Word of God. His preaching was with greater power at that point in time than the people had ever heard. The people flocked to hear the preaching of the Baptist. Why'd they do that? He had power. He had conviction. He reminded them of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the common man wanted to go and hear the Baptist preach. They went. They heard. They believed and they repented. They were baptized. And by the way, all of those people that the Baptist baptized, John the Baptist baptized, all those people became the very first members of the New Testament church that was established by the Lord Jesus Christ. John rendered service to his Lord by doing his work to make his path straight and to make the rough ways smooth. We'll turn to Luke chapter 3 and read verses 4 and 5. Luke chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. Dean, thank you so much. If you'll turn there and go ahead and read that. Luke chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. So John the Baptist rendered service to the Lord Jesus Christ. He made his path straight. He made the rough way smooth. All those who followed John sincerely were led straight to the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, there was no ulterior motive with John the Baptist. John the Baptist was not the least bit interested in making a name for himself. John the Baptist didn't care. He didn't care about getting the glory from the men. He was concerned with making the people that heard him see the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's the responsibility for every Bible teacher and every Bible preacher. Our responsibility is not to get people to see us. Our responsibility is to make much of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're only successful when what we teach and preach magnifies the Lord Jesus Christ. The forerunner of Christ, the John the Baptist, thrusts aside the rough ways of the legalistic Pharisees and all their burdensome demands. To humble souls, he heralded the good news that their long-awaited Messiah was at hand, bringing with him divine salvation. Keep this in mind. Before John the Baptist appeared on the scene, now remember, Keep in your mind what's happened. The people are starving spiritually when John the Baptist shows up. It's been 400 years since God raised up a prophet. Now listen, the people had the Word of God. They had the Old Testament Scripture. There were preachers on the scene. There were always men of God that were preaching the Word of God that they had at that time. So the people could have heard had they desired to. But the fact is the people were starving spiritually. And John the Baptist appears on the scene. Boy, what a contrast. You see, before the Baptist appeared on the scene, for the most part, most of the people only had the professional religionist to teach them. Who'd they have? On the bottom of page 9 of your notes there, they had four different groups. They had the Pharisees, they had the Sadducees, they had the scribes, and they had the lawyers. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, and the lawyers. Now, what a group this was. Let's take the Pharisees. I'm not going to spend a long time here, but let me just say a word about them. The Pharisees claimed, now watch it, they claimed to believe the Word of God. They claimed to believe in the miracles of the Bible. But what the Pharisees did was to add to the Word of God. You see, they added the commandments of men. They added the commandments of men. Now, you ladies especially, don't get upset with me because I'm not against washing your hands before you eat. But you know, the Pharisees came to the place, you know, they talked about the washing of the plates and the saucers and everything and the washing of the hands before you eat. Now, there's nothing wrong in and of itself of those things. Could I stop here? I have discovered, though, a really miraculous thing over the years. I hunt and fish and all. And I've discovered over the years that God does a special thing with you when you're hunting and all. You can be baiting worms and stuff and have that stuff all over your hands. And you can just do that down your pants one time and they're completely sterilized and it's okay to eat and everything then. So I've done that a lot of times and I'm still here. It didn't kill me at all. But anyway, that's just something that God does for us. But the Pharisees came to the place that they actually promoted the traditions of men more than the Bible. You remember on one occasion, they got after the Lord Jesus Christ. They found fault with the Lord Jesus Christ. They said, your disciples didn't wash their hands before they ate. Wow. So the Pharisees added to the Word of God. They put burdens on people that people never should have had to bear. Folks, listen, all we're responsible for in the eyes of God is what God says. It doesn't mean beans about what people say. None of that makes any difference. People may have preferences. All of us do. The question is it in the Word of God? If it is, we ought to do it. If it's not, it's wrong to try to present it as if people are bound by God to do something that we just have an idea that's all something good to do. What about the Sadducees? Now, here's another group of professional religious. Now, they appeared to be righteous, but you know about the Sadducees? They took away from the Word of God. Are you getting the picture? The Pharisees added to the Bible. The Sadducees took away from the Bible. There have always been Bible revisers around. It's just like the Bible revisers of today. All of them do one of those two things. All of them either add to the Bible or they take away from the Bible. The Sadducees didn't believe in miracles. They didn't accept any of the miracles in the Bible. The Sadducees didn't believe in anything supernatural. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in anything that was supernatural. The people had, before the Baptist came on the scene, for the most part, they had the Pharisees that were adding to the Bible. They had the Sadducees that were taking away from the Bible. And then they had the scribes and the lawyers. Now, the scribes and lawyers are very similar. The scribes were the ones that actually wrote copies of the, at that time, the Old Testament scripture. Now, the lawyers, these are not the kind of lawyers that you dial their toll-free number if you're getting a car wreck because you want to sue somebody. That's not the kind of lawyers these were. These were lawyers that dealt with the Old Testament law. That's the kind of lawyers these. They were supposed to be the ones that knew how to interpret the Old Testament law. All of these folks were professional religionists that really didn't care about God. John the Baptist came on the scene. He looked at that crowd and, hey, the multitudes were gathered around. Jerusalem and Judea and Galilee, the whole region had came out to hear the Baptist preach. And when those professional religionists came out right in front of all those people, John the Baptist called them on the rug. And he said, "You generation of vipers." He said, "If you're going to do business with God," now here's basically what he was saying, "If you're going to do business with God, you're going to have to do exactly like everybody else does. You're going to have to repent of your sin and dedicate yourself solely to God and live for Him." The Baptist offered a pleasing contrast. His preaching was scriptural without the addition of human traditions which the Pharisees imposed upon the people, thereby making the Word of God of none effect. John, Spirit-filled, spoke with the voice of divine authority. The people, at least the majority of them, knew instinctively that here was a prophet, and they flocked to hear him. They bypassed the haughty religionist for a humble preacher in the wilderness. Common people have always listened to God. Both common people are the ones that have always listened to God. John the Baptist had the unique honor of being the first to point out Christ as the Lamb of God and the Son of God, clothed with full deity. John the Baptist, and you've heard me say it scores of times, I guess, over the years, John the Baptist saw Jesus Christ come down the road, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." John the Baptist said on another occasion, when this matter of baptism, and of course God gave John the Baptist this thing of baptism, water baptism I'm talking about, and John the Baptist even used that. He said, "You know what?" He said, "I baptize you with water, but when Jesus Christ gets on the scene, He's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit." You see, the Baptist never pointed to himself. He never took honor on himself. Everything he did was to point people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, he did such a good job. He did such a good job that when the Lord began to call his disciples, one after the other, as the Lord walked by, he told them, he said, "Follow me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men." And as the Lord spoke to each of his disciples, they immediately left what they were doing and followed the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why they were so willing to do that just like that? They were willing to do that because they had been prepared to do that by John the Baptist. That was John the Baptist's job. John the Baptist was given the responsibility from God Almighty to prepare the hearts of men to follow the Lord Jesus Christ when He came on the scene. And when Christ came, those people had already been saved. They had already been baptized. They were ready to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ Himself used those people that had been prepared by John the Baptist to begin the very first New Testament church. A New Testament church, by the way, that Philadelphia Baptist Church is patterned after. Let's end by reading Luke chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Who will read that for us? Luke chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Brother Rick, if you'll turn and read that, we'll close with these thoughts from the Word of God. Powerful preacher by the Baptist, referring, of course, to the Lord Jesus Christ. What all did he preach? What all Bible doctrines did he preach? The Lord willing, if the Lord tarries his coming, allows us to be here. We'll begin next week with the next lesson entitled, The Teaching and Preaching of the Baptist. Heavenly Father, thank you now for loving us and caring for us. We thank you for the good Word of God. We thank you for the wonderful heritage we have as Bible believers. I pray that you'd bless in the services to follow. May Christ be exalted. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.